Hi, this is Pastor Paul Chappell here on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. I'm excited about the podcast ministry and the thousands of viewers and listeners who are hearing the Word of God through the ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church. Today we'll hear a special guest speaker whose message will be an inspiration to your Christian life. Thank you for being a growing Christian, and may God richly bless you today.
Acts chapter 20, and a couple of weeks ago we talked about spiritual growth, growing toward maturity, and we mentioned that there were two vital aspects of that, and they were diet and climate. If you were here 2 weeks ago, you remember we talked about if we're going to grow, we've got to have the right input, the right diet. We've also got to have the right influence. That which is around us, the climate in which we put ourselves in, is going to either aid or hinder our growth. And tonight, we're going to look at growth through exercise. Acts chapter 20, and let's read beginning in verse 17, down through verse 24, if you will. Acts chapter 20, beginning with verse 17. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying and weight of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Spiritual growth and health require exercise. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul instructs the young man Timothy to refuse profane and vain babblings and wives' fables. And he says, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having hope of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So Paul instructs the young Timothy, the young preacher, the young protege there, the apprentice, to exercise himself in godliness. He says, bodily exercise will profit you for a little or for a little time. It'll profit you while you're here on earth. But godliness is profitable not only now, but even eternally. And the word exercise there in that passage, and as it's found other places in our New Testament, is the Greek word gamanzo. From that Greek word, we get our word gymnasium or gymnastics, which obviously refers to the exercise that Paul is referring to there in that passage. So, when's the last time you've been to the gym? It's a sin to neglect the gym. It's a sin to neglect the gym. You can have all the right diet, and you can have the right climate, but God didn't save us just to feed us and to influence our life properly. But now, if we're going to really grow and take the next step in our Christian life, he wants us to begin to exercise our lives for his glory. Now, exercise is both a tearing down and a building up. If you go to the gym, you're going to work out for a while and you're going to tear down some muscles. But in the process of tearing down those muscles, you're going to rest perhaps a day or a couple of days before you work out again so that those muscles can build up again, build stronger. So exercise involves a tearing down and a building up. If you please, a stretching and a strengthening. Now putting it in a Christian growth perspective, Exercise will bring on some opposition and also some opportunity. In other words, God can grow us through the opposition that comes our way. Oftentimes when trials and difficulties, problems come into our life, God forces us to grow in His grace and in His knowledge through those times of opposition. Other times, God forces us to grow through opportunity. Pastor says, hey, we'd like you to maybe consider working in this ministry. Me? Pastor, you sure? Well, you're at the bottom of the barrel here. You want me to get involved in a ministry? Well, that's gonna cause you to grow a little bit, right? Some opportunity is gonna cause you to grow. So there's a stretching, there's a strengthening, there's an opposition, there's an opportunity. And all of this is designed by God in order that we might mature, that we might grow. See, a person doesn't just decide to run a marathon. A person doesn't just decide one day to climb Mount Everest. And no one can just decide to be a mature Christian. Now, we might have aspirations in our mind tonight. Boy, I'd like to climb Mount Everest. That might be an aspiration, but you don't just do that this weekend. And all of us, I hope, that are here on a Wednesday night would have a desire to grow spiritually. That's why we're here. We have a desire to become mature Christians, but you don't just decide that and accomplish it this weekend. It's a process of spiritual growth. In Acts chapter 24, Paul gives his testimony there before the officials, the civil authorities. And as he is giving his testimony, he's talking about how he got saved. He's talking about those early days of his Christian life. Throughout that testimony, he lays down his doctrine. He tells them what he believes. He also, in that testimony, expounds on his philosophy of ministry. And in the midst of that testimony, he says, "Herein do I exercise myself." In other words, Paul said, look, God saved me. God's grown me. I have ministry opportunities. I know what I believe. I know how I'm supposed to behave. I know how I'm supposed to do God's work. And in all of it, I exercise myself to have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. And because Paul, throughout his life and ministry, was constantly involved in spiritual exercise, he got to the end of his life and he was able to say, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. And isn't that the goal of all of us? Don't you want to get to the end and be able to stand perfect and complete in all the will of God? Amen. I mean, when it's all over, it's really not going to matter how much money you made or how popular you were or how much earthly success you had. The only thing that's going to matter when you stand before God is, are you perfect and complete in all the will of God? And the only way you're going to finish that course, the only way you're going to finish that race that's set before you is if you get in the gym and prepare to grow spiritually so that you can run that race. Now, there are three interesting results of exercise. I'm talking to some people tonight in this room that regularly exercise physically. And if I were to ask you, do you enjoy exercise? You'd probably say no. At least if you're over 30. Exercise is not necessarily enjoyable. But if you exercise, you do enjoy the results of it. In other words, if it helps keep your weight down, or if it helps keep your heart strong, or if it gives you energy to do the things that you want to do, if that exercise produces a good result, you would say, well, I don't really enjoy running, or I don't really enjoy swimming, or I don't really enjoy, you know, the exercise, lifting weights, or whatever it is. It's not, you know, fun per se, but I do enjoy the results that it brings in my life. And let's look tonight at the results, so to speak, of spiritual exercise, because I can't entice you to exercise. It's going to be a tough sell for me to say, okay, let's get in the gym spiritually. You know, when you get my age, somebody says, hey, let's go play basketball. Give me a week to psych myself up. You know, I'm going to need a little more motivation than that. Now, 40 years ago, if you said, let's go play basketball, I would have been there before you could get there. I used to wear my gym clothes under my regular clothes when I was in school. The day I graduated from college, we played 3 hours of basketball at 4:30 in the morning on graduation day. I mean, there was a time when I would jump at any kind of exercise. Now today, you know, you're going to have to pretty good sales job on me to get me out there. But the point is that there, I can entice you, I hope tonight, to say, hey, there's some good results from spiritual exercise. There's something good about spiritual maturity, about growing that I want. It's going to mean that I've got to exercise. I got to get in the gym spiritually. So let's look at the results. First of all, exercise brings resistance. It brings resistance. When you get saved, that salvation decision is a big step that has some resistance to it. I'm sure when you got saved, you thought for a moment, this is a big decision. If I get saved, somebody might criticize me. There's some sin I have to give up. This means living a different kind of life than what I'm living now. There was some resistance to that initial step in your life spiritually. In some people, more resistance than others, but that first step of salvation, there is some resistance, and you overcame it when you took that step of faith and came to Jesus Christ. Now, after salvation, there's still resistance. There's still a constant conflict in your life. And no matter how far you go in the Christian life, no matter how far you mature into your faith with God, there's going to be a resistance. The Apostle Paul was a pretty good Christian. I would say he was a very good Christian. Many people would say he's probably the greatest Christian that ever lived. Now, Paul didn't view himself that way. He said he was the chiefest of sinners. But I think if we were to evaluate the life of Paul, we would say that guy had it together. That guy served God with his life. But even the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7 described the resistance that he faced in his spiritual walk. He said, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I would, I do not. That which I would not, that I do. That which I hate, that I do. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, and the evil that I would not that I do. Now if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another man warring in my members, bringing me into the law of sin. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. You see the battle there? In Galatians 5, he said, this I say, that walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are the contrary, the one to the other, so you cannot do the things you would. In other words, look, we're in a battle, we're in a war. There's always going to be resistance. Now, Paul outlines some of that resistance here that comes with spiritual growth or spiritual exercise. First of all, there's going to be a conflict with your ego. In verse number 19, he says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. See that? Serving the Lord. In other words, going forward, exercise, spiritual maturity requires a humility of mind. Why? Because the first conflict you and I face every morning we get up is our own ego. The self that is in all of us is always resisting against spiritual growth. Right. D.L. Moody used to say, the man I fear the most is the one who walks underneath this hat. Self is our chief enemy. And our own ego oftentimes gets in the way of spiritual exercise. Romans 12, 1 and 2 is a fantastic text. It's a wonderful passage of Scripture. If you haven't memorized it, you ought to. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What a tremendous outline to the Christian life in giving ourselves to God and letting Him use us as we separate from the world and give ourselves unto Him. But because Romans 12, 1 and 2 are so important and so often used, we overlook verse 3. And I think in Romans 12, perhaps the key pivotal verse in that whole chapter is verse 3. He says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath given to every man the measure of faith." See, if you're going to do Romans 12, 1 and 2, and you start making some progress in that, the first thing that's going to raise its ugly head in your way is your own ego, your own pride, your own self. Ego's the problem in our culture. We worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. We focus on self. We focus on me. We focus on my needs. And God says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but," watch this, "made himself of no reputation." Boy, that flies in the face of the resume padding society of today. He made himself of no reputation. We spend our whole life trying to build our reputation. Jesus spent his making himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Aren't you glad he did? You see, Jesus Christ was not about ego. He was not about self. He didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And God asks us, "Who maketh thee to differ from another? What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." And so every day we've got to remind ourselves that if we're going to run this race, if we're going to advance in spiritual maturity, we've got to find an answer to this conflict against our ego. But then there's going to be a conflict with our emotions. He goes on in verse 19, "Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears." You know, the Christian life is not easy. Some people will try to hurt you. Some people will try to criticize you. Some people will say some things and misrepresent you, perhaps. There'll be misunderstandings. There'll be disappointments. There will be fears. And that's why in the Christian life, if you're going to run this race on to spiritual maturity, we've got to rely on somebody stronger than us. Paul said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Your emotions are going to be all over the place if you trust those emotions to get you through the race. You've got to rely on someone bigger and stronger than you, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. "Fear not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." So we've got a conflict with our ego, we've got a conflict with our emotions, then we've got a conflict with our enticements. Verse 19, he goes on and says, "And temptations." All of us have some vulnerability to our flesh. All of us have our weak areas. By the way, the devil knows what they are. And he has his sights set on that weakness when he fires his darts. He knows where we've failed before. He knows where we stumble easily. The writer in Hebrews said in chapter 12, Wherefore, being compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. In other words, each of us has a sin that can easily beset us. We have that weight in our life that oftentimes drags us down in this progress of spiritual maturity. And so, as Solomon told his son, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." We've got to go to battle against these areas of enticement. By the way, a good strategy to adopt when it comes to the enticements of the world would be to adapt Joseph's strategy. Remember Joseph? There he was in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife tried to sexually entice him. And the Bible says there in chapter 39 and verse 10, he said, "How shall I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" By the way, that he said that before the Ten Commandments were written. People say, "Well, we're not under the law today." Neither was Joseph. But the first thing he did was he recognized the sin. You can't eliminate something you don't admit exists. So the first thing Joseph did was, when that temptation came, he said, "This is sin against God." So he recognized it. Then the Bible says he refused to lie with her. So he recognized it. He refused the sin. And then when she kept coming to him day by day, the Bible says when he saw her coming, he got him out. He removed himself from the temptation. That's a pretty good strategy. Recognize the sin, refuse the temptation, and then remove yourself from the stimulus. Get out of there. See, a lot of times we know something is sin. We sort of say no, but we kind of hang around. There's way too much window shopping at the mall of sin. The mall is not a good place to go if you don't have any money. Eventually, you will see something that's worth buying. And a lot of times we hang around. See, Billy Sunday said, if you want to stop sinning, get out of the devil's neighborhood. And Joseph practiced that. He saw the sin. He recognized it. He refused it in its temptation form. And then as he saw that this was going to be a daily battle, he said, "You know, I'm just getting out of here. I'm not going to expose myself to this." So we have a conflict with our enticements. And then we have a conflict with our enemies. In verse 19, not only the temptations which befell me by the line and weight of the Jews. You see, not only is sin a problem, but so are sinners. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 18 says, "One sinner destroyeth much good." One sinner can ruin a lot of lives. Proverbs 29 says, "One scorner brings a whole city into a snare." So think what it can do in a church, or a Christian school, or a family. And the truth is, one person, it's interesting, Paul, he's talking about exercise in Galatians 5, and he said, "You did run well," chapter 5, verse 7, "you did run well. Who did hinder you from not obeying the truth?" Isn't it interesting, the thing that usually hinders you is a who. He didn't say, "You ran well, now what stopped you?" No, he said, "Who stopped you?" We go back to last week, diet and climate, input and influence. You got to be very careful because you're going to have those enemies that are going to come against you, those people who do not want to run this way, race, or do not want to go on to spiritual maturity, or don't even know your God, who are constantly going to try to thwart your progress. Psalm 101 verse 3, "I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside." Psalm 101 verse 7, "He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight." So, exercise always brings, first of all, resistance. A couple of years ago, Coach Beeson got the bright idea that the basketball team should hike to the top of Mount Whitney. I thought it was a great idea. I said, "Go for it." I gave him a date. He said, "Now when we get up there, we need somebody to preach to us. Why don't you come along?" Well, I was interested in preaching, but I wasn't really keen on 14,000 feet. We left campus about 1 in the morning, as I recall, drove up there, got there about 4, got out of that bus in the middle of the night, started hiking that mountain. We hiked an hour, and Tommy Thorogood, who was probably the best athlete on that team, after an hour, he went back. He got sick. The altitude, he just couldn't, and I thought, now if he's going back, what am I doing? You know, a couple of guys had to go back. You know, we had, I think, 5 guys get to the top, sign the little book at the top. I decided the little book wasn't worth the pain. I got about 1,000 feet from the top, but I'm telling you, when you're on the top of that mountain on shale rock and there's drop-offs like 300 feet down and you're hallucinating, you start saying, this is not a good idea. I'm not ready for this. I didn't prepare. I didn't do enough steppers to do this deal. You go out and you get some exercise, I'm telling you, there's going to be some resistance. If you haven't been in the gym, when you get in, there's going to be some resistance. Those muscles are going to cry out to you. Those lungs are going to start telling you you're stupid. And you know what? A Christian life, you start walking with God, there's going to be something inside of you is going to say, you know what? This is really stupid. You can quit anytime. You know, and that old devil is going to say, look, you know, this isn't worth it. Other people went back. You know, you won't be the only one. You don't have to do this. And if you're going to exercise, if you're going to grow, you got to exercise. And if you're going to exercise, there's going to be some resistance. It always brings resistance. Secondly, exercise builds readiness. It builds readiness. When I was in college, I played basketball, and the coach at the end of practice, he had this really weird idea that at the end of practice, he would put all the basketballs aside and he would say, guys, start running. And we would run around that gym. And the only difference from running in the beginning of practice was at the end of practice, we had to run with our hands over our heads. Now, I don't know if you ever tried that, but God didn't make you to run with your hands over your head. Your hands look just fine right here. And when you run, if you kind of move them like this, it really helps. So you try to run with your hands over your head, your lungs immediately just don't operate. They start burning. You can't get air. It's an amazing phenomenon. And we would run around that gym with our hands over our head until he would blow a whistle. He would blow the whistle, and then he'd say, go to the free throw lines. And there were about 10 baskets around that gym, and the managers would throw everybody a basketball, and we had to shoot 10 free throws. Now, you can't even feel your hands because there's no blood in them. All the blood has run out of your fingertips. So they give you the ball, and you can't feel it. Now, you can't shoot if you can't feel the texture of the ball. I mean, it's just impossible. Put tape on your fingers, try to shoot a basketball, you can't do it. So you dribble the ball, and you couldn't feel it. And you look at the basket, and it's moving like the one at the county fair. You know, I mean, you're dying of air, and that thing's moving. And it looks like it's 10 yards away instead of 10 feet. And you bounce that ball a couple times, and you try to shoot, your legs are jello. You try to shoot that thing, you talk about air balls. And we shoot those 10 free throws, we get done, you say, or start running again. And we'd run again, hands overhead, and then we go back and shoot free throws. Runs the hands overhead, shoot free throws. We did that for an hour. And I'm telling you, I didn't cuss, but I wanted to. That was horrible. But the coach was preparing us for something we were going to face later. My junior season, we were in the conference championship game. We had a seesaw battle. We had actually tied in the regular season for the top spot, and so we had this playoff game to determine the conference champion, and the game was very close on neutral court. The game went back and forth, went into overtime, still tied after the first overtime. Second overtime, still tied. Third overtime, still tied. Fourth overtime. Now, we have played a game and a half now, an extra 20 minutes. And I played the entire game. including the overtimes. And at the very end of that game, we were down 103-102. And with 1 second on the clock, I got fouled. And I went to the line. And at that moment, I was thankful I had a coach that ran me with my hands over my head and made me shoot free throws. You see, exercise builds readiness. Now notice it here. Paul says in verse 20, I have kept back nothing. See, Paul didn't have to hold back anything because the exercise in his life had prepared him for ministry. And Paul becomes the portrait of a consistent mentor. He says, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house. Paul said, I've showed you how to live this Christian life. Because Paul was disciplined in his spiritual exercise, because he had not neglected the gym, because he had taken this responsibility of growth seriously, he now could be the portrait of the right kind of mentor to these who were following him. To Timothy, he says later in 2 Timothy 3:10, thou hast fully known my doctrine. Well, that's good. If you're training a preacher, they need to know doctrine. That's why we teach 4 semesters of doctrine here in the college. Our college students, when they graduate, they have 60 credit hours of Bible. Okay, out of 128 hours, they have 60 hours of Bible. Why? Because this is the doctrine that we need to know. This has the answers. Okay, so doctrine, if you're training a preacher, you got to have sound doctrine. And he said, Timothy, you have fully known my doctrine. But he said, you've also fully known my manner of life. See, Paul wasn't concerned that his students would see something different out of the classroom than they saw in the classroom because he had exercised himself. And that exercise had produced in him a portrait of a consistent mentor. That's why Paul could say, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Paul wasn't worried that they might follow something bad if they followed him, because he had exercised himself in godliness. Those things which ye have both learned and received and seen in me, he said, do. In 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 7, you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Paul was the portrait of a consistent mentor. And see, all the conflict that exercise brings enables you to become the right kind of parent. It enables you to become the right kind of Sunday school teacher. It enables you to become the right kind of soul winner. You're not worried about knocking on a door and meeting somebody that maybe you had a poor testimony about with. You see? And so Paul, because of the godliness in his spiritual walk, was the portrait of a consistent mentor. But he shows us the preaching of a complete message. In verse 20, he says, not only have I showed you all things, but I've taught you publicly and from house to house. Paul didn't keep back anything. He didn't withhold any of the counsel of God. Sometimes if we're not careful, as we try to reach others, we like to just tell them the good things. We tell them the positive things. But there's a balance, and exercise accomplishes that balance. Verse 27, he says, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. See, when you're exercised in godliness, when you have paid the price in the gym, then every muscle in your spiritual walk is exercised, and now you can preach the whole counsel of God, the complete message. As he says here in verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. See the balance there, repentance and faith. Two sides of the same coin. Heaven and hell, sin and salvation, grace and truth, love and holiness. You see, there's a balance that develops because of a spiritual exercise. So exercise brings resistance. Exercise builds readiness. And finally tonight, exercise bolsters resolve. It bolsters resolve. God commands us to finish strong. Be thou faithful unto death, I'll give thee the crown of life. See, God wants us to finish this thing. Christian life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. And he wants us to finish strong. A lot of examples in the Bible of people who started well, but not as many that finished well. But God's goal is that we would finish this race, that we would accomplish this thing that God has set before us. And Paul displays this amazing resilience in his life to go all the way to martyrdom, faithful, unmovable. He says, I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Paul could hear the clanking of the chains of the Roman soldiers as they entered the prison under Nero's command to come and get Paul and behead him. And Paul says, I'm ready to be offered. Why? Because he was spiritually in shape. Physically, he was worn down and he was cold and in that prison, he was suffering physically, but mentally and spiritually, he said, I'm ready to be offered. Why? Because the exercise bolstered his resolve. He's resolved to finish. Now notice he points out in verse 22, an uncertain future. He says, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. One thing we got to remember, the Christian life is a faith walk. You're not going to see everything in advance. You got to trust God. We walk by faith, not by sight. Be careful when you say, I just don't see it. I just don't see how this is going to work. Pastor, I just don't see how I can get victory over this habit. Pastor, I don't see how we're ever going to build any more buildings around here. I just don't see it. You're not supposed to see it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So you got to understand that in this journey of spiritual maturity, there's an uncertain future. The just shall live by faith. We don't get to preview before we print. Now, if you're on a computer, it's a good idea to do that. Preview before you print. Save a lot of paper. But see, we want to do that with the will of God. In our technology age, we want God to pull up the will of God on the screen so that we can preview it. And we look at God's will for our life, we say, oh, okay, God, okay, I like that, yeah, that's good. Oh, this part right here, God, that's just not me. I mean, I could never do that. We'll just delete that. And this right here, it's okay, but not right now. I'm not ready for that, so let's cut and paste that and put it over here. Huh? God says, no, there's no preview. You just hit the print button. Let me draw it up, and by faith, you trust me. See, Paul says, I don't know what's going to befall me. So far, I'm running the race. I'm doing the best I can to be exercised spiritually so that I can walk and run this race. But I don't know all that's coming because you don't get to preview before you print. The Bible's not a horoscope. God's will doesn't come in a fortune cookie. Okay? God's not a fortune teller. God doesn't tell us everything in the race. He doesn't tell us everything that's coming. Just like a coach doesn't tell the athlete everything on the practice schedule. Nobody would go to practice. That's why we have discipleship for new Christians. See? We got to get them started. They're not ready for all of it yet. They got to get started. They got to get a little bit of muscle before they can, you know, we can put a little more weight on them. That's what Wednesday night's all about. See, we got to get prepared because Sunday's coming and we got to minister. We got to serve. We got stuff to do for God. But we got to get in here. We got to get in the gym and we got to let God work on us. But God won't always show us everything that's coming. So he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Thou'lt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee. So, there's an uncertain element to this walk, or this growth, an uncertain future. Then notice he says, he talks about an underlying foresight. Now watch this, because this is the balance and the goodness of God. In verse 23 he says, save. I don't know what's coming, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. You know what? The Holy Spirit will give you foresight when the danger is about to come. The prudent man foreseeth the evil. Why? Because he's got the Holy Spirit in him. And at the right time, when you need to know what God wants you to know, he'll reveal that. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. If you're saved, you've got the Spirit of God. Amen. So you don't have to fear the future, even though you don't know it, because when you need to know it, the Holy Spirit will minister to you. He will guide you into that truth. Have you ever, somebody said, how did you know that was the will of God? And you said, I don't know, I just knew. Well, how did you know? I just knew. And that's a good answer. Because you just know. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. You can't explain it. But it's the Holy Spirit of God ministering to you at that time. So the growing Christian is going to have insight as he runs this race. And because of that, he'll have an unflappable fervor. Verse 24, what a great verse. None of these things move me, neither count of my life during myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel, the grace of God. You see his determination, none of these things move me. You see his denial, neither count of my life during myself. You see his duration, that I might finish my course with joy. His delight with joy, and his duty and the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You see, there's an unflappable fervor. Why? Because you've been in the gym. And so nothing's going to alter you now. You know, by the grace of God, with the strength of God, with the help of God, you can meet whatever's coming. And you're not going to turn back. You're going to be able to successfully serve the Lord in those areas he gives you. Exercise produces growth. Now, growth is not the end. Evangelization and edification is the end. See, this isn't so we can have muscle contests. You know, this is a spiritual growth isn't about let's come Wednesday night and see who has the biggest biceps. No. The end of all this exercise is so that we can evangelize Amen. The lost and edify the saints. That's why we got to get in the gym, because there's a lot of people who need to be evangelized. And God seems to bring a lot of people to this place that need to be edified every week. And the church has to have all of us on that team helping in that process. So, when's the last time you went to the gym? By the way, I hit those free throws. Will you? Game's on. Tomorrow you're going to go to work, game's on. You're going to hit the free throws? It really depends on whether we let God do a little stretching and strengthening in our life on a daily basis. You let the heavenly coach get you in that gym of spiritual growth, spiritual maturity, through exercise. And I'll guarantee you, when those challenges come, those tests come, and the game's on the line for you, you'll knock them down. Because you'll be fully prepared. You'll be fully ready to meet those challenges.
Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. I hope that your heart was drawn closer to God as a result of our time together today. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Lancaster Baptist Church, let me encourage you to visit lancasterbaptist.org. You'll see a tremendous amount of material there that will help you in your Christian life. And then if you'd like resources to help you on a daily basis, visit strivingtogether.com. There you'll find our newest resource, A Daily Word, 366 devotions, one a day, just to help you begin every morning with God. That's at strivingtogether.com. We'll look forward to seeing you next time on the podcast from Lancaster Baptist Church.